You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's daf in Masechet Yedah brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim is daf Nun, and we're holding it to Halakha Mishnah, which is towards the bottom of Amud Aleph. Kol Shechayav B'Ma'asrot, continuing on now with the pattern, which we have one set that subsumes another, whereas the smaller set, of course, doesn't contain the upper. So Kol Shechayav B'Ma'asrot Mitamei Tumat Tochlim. Anything which would be included in the set of Chiyav and Maaser is by definition included in the set of those things that are considered to be foodstuffs, and therefore they'll be Mekabel Tumat Ochlin. However, there are many things that would be Metame Tumat Ochlin, but would not be included in the set of Chiyav and Maaserot. For instance, Latoyimai, very simple. I mean, you got some meat, you got some fish, you got some eggs, you got those things are Chiyav and Maaser, but they're certainly Mekabel Tumat Ochlin. So basar dagim ubeitzim. Continues the Mishnah, kol shechayav bepe'a, chayav b'masrot. The larger set here is the set that includes all of the chiyuvim of pe'a, which b'meila will be chayav in maaser. But there are things that might be chayav in maaser, which is a smaller set that is not chayav in pe'a. What is that? Latuyimai. Latuyi te'ina v'yerek she'in chayav, eno chayav bepe'a. That includes things like figs and like vegetables that are not chayav in peah. And what is the basis of all of this? That's not. Kol amru bepeah. The general rule that the Mishnah brings with peah is that anything to be chayav in peah has to meet the following definitions of the set. It's first of all, ochel, koshu ochel. We'll see what that excludes. It has to be nishmar, meaning that it's not hefker. We'll explain each one of these things individually in a moment. It has to be gigulo min haaretz. It has to have one lakita, not that it gradually matures and you have to pick it at different times. And it has to be long-term storageable. So you have to be able to be machniso lakiyum. That and only that is chayev bepeah. So let's take a look at what each one of these issues would be mamayit from the set of chiyav peah. It has to be ochel. So that means that even things that may be valuable crops, but they're being grown for purposes other than food, let's say they're being grown in order to dye clothing with. So lemutei sefichei satim v'kutza, which are dyes, when it says sefichim, that's an indication of the full grown, which Rashi says maybe the tzedafke svichin, but in achinami, at the beginning of the growth, it would be considered to be foodstuff. Tosfos says maybe just the opposite. Maybe svichin is more royal achil, and it's coming to me even so. Here it means the full grown. It doesn't mean like svichish vias, yeah. Over there also has the indication of these are things that have grown. They're grown on their own. Here we're talking about svichin and grown, not that grown on their own, but that they're fully grown. So the chiddush is, even though they're fully grown, it just does, and they're closer to being edible, they're still fundamentally a dye crop. They're nishmar lemute hefker. Has to be something that belongs to somebody. And gidulom in aretz, that would exclude truffles and mushrooms. So lemute kveim pitriot lekitatok echad. And it has to be all maturing at one time. That's lemute te'ina. And therefore, we said over here that the set of the chiyuv of peah would not include te'ina. And machnisa lekiyum would exclude veggies. So that's why we said vegetables, because you can't store vegetables long-term, and are excluded. And te'ina is excluded from the other requirement that it needs to be lekitatok echad. Now, the truth is, midoraita, none of these things would be chayav, because it's dafka daganti rosh v'yitzah. So Tosfos points out, in the end, anyway, we're coming down to defining differences in a chiyuv that is kulei derabbanan. So it seems sort of arbitrary that the rabbanan would have been geyser on things like vegetables for meiser or te'ina for meiser, but would not have been geyser legabe peyah. Why would that be? It's a little bit strange. Tosfos says a remarkable chiddush. Tosfos says the reason it wouldn't be is because the rabbanim have to take into consideration the economic impact of a takon or of a gezeira. In this case, if they would be mechayev te'enim, or they would be mechayev yirakot in peah, they would ultimately cause damage to aniyim instead of helping aniyim. Now, why is this so remarkable? It's remarkable because it is based on the Chachomim taking responsibility for the fact that human beings do not make intelligent economic decisions. So what happens is that an ani will laze around waiting for payah to be taken for your rakot, waiting for the owner to come to take off payah, will end up wasting hours for garbage. Because basically, the vegetables, they're not storable. They're not really worth very much. They don't give you much energy. So what is the point? You're ending up wasting more time than the money that's going to be valuable. The same thing is true of the teina. The teina is producing a little bit every day. So you're going to get shlep out there for a couple of teinim every day. So it's not worth making this takana for the aniyim that are going to basically end up being damaged by this takana instead of helped by the takana. That's a little bit paternalistic. It's the kind of thing that people complain about the government. Let us make our own mistakes. But over here, it's obviously a deeper issue, because why should we set up a mechanism to have you make mistakes with in the first place? Forget about it. That's all. Just forget about it.
So how would it only get taken?
He won't. You'll get it only through the Meiser, through other issues, but not through Peah. Peah is a schlep.
More of a hassle than
it's much more of a hassle. You have to wait around. The guy didn't take off Peah yet. You see that it's time. Maybe he'll come out now. He won't come out now. It's not Kedai. Okay.
So pay is taken at the end of the crop when it's all...
Yeah, but by Taina would have to be... Exactly. Okay. In any event, but it's an interesting issue, yeah? V'ilu gabi ma'aser. When it comes to ma'aser, the Mishnah says, what are the conditions to meet to be a member of the set of Chiyuv Ma'aser? All you need is to be an ochel, and to be nishmar, and to be gidulom in ha'aretz. That's automatically chayav b'ma'aser. You see, l'kitato ki'achat is not a requirement, and makviso l'kiyum is not a requirement. Lokata. Now, the suggestion, however, is v'im ayubam shumim u'betzobim chayavim. Nonetheless, I'm tiny. That if you would have, let's say, garlic or onions, now those kind of vegetables are actually makviso l'kiyum, and therefore they're not excluded by virtue of the Machnis Elikiyim requirement of payah. It's not. I bring a raya. It says, Beferish, Mal Benot Bitsalim, Shebein Ayerek. There's no question that these little squares, garden squares of Bitsalim that are growing between other type of Yerakot, everybody's agreed you have to get payah. The question is, do you need to take payah from every little plot, or can you take payah from the entire garden from one area for all? That's the only Machloket. But payah, you definitely have to take. So Rabbi Yossi omer peya mikol achat v'achat, v'chachamim omer mi'achat al hakol. Omer Rabba bar Bachana, omer Rabbi Yochanan. Now, the truth is, we have something here that really is not negeya arsugya right now. However, shortly, tomorrow, we're going to end up asking on this maimer of Rabbi Yochanan from our Mishnah. And therefore, we bring it already here because it's part of the general description of the Dinim of Meiser that we're talking about, so we raise the question. Okay, so Olshin, you have... Olshin is chicory. It's the substitute for coffee that's used as a cheap substitute. It's bitter, so generally speaking, people are zerei the behemah, but certainly there's a nice market for it. Kill the behemah. Then you change your mind while they're still planted, and you decide, you know what, I'm going to keep it for myself. So you nimach aleihem la'adam. Trichot machshava likish yitalesh. You need machshavas achila after you pick them, and only then will they be makabel tumas erchlin. But a machshava that you had to eat it as adam, because remember, animal food is not makabel tumah. But the fact that you decided after you planted it that you're going to eat it, that's not called a machshava l'gavitum. So kasover makshavat chibur, as long as it's attached to the ground, lav shma makshavat, it's not defining it as a foodstuff, legavi dinei tumah v'tayr. Amar Rav Achanan Amitzanina. That's a beferish in Mishnah we use all the time, the Mishnah Masechet Taharot, which talks about the din of Nivlat of Tahar. So it says over there, there's 13 different dinim. Shosha asar dvarim nemru b'nivlat of Tahar. One of them is, v'zechat mihim, tzricham makshaba, that you need to define it as a foodstuff, and only then will it be shayach to Kabbalah Stuma. But here, of course, we're not talking about being shayach to Kabbalah Stuma in terms of the halak of Tumah Chamura. We're talking about that it should be a food. Because besides being a nevela, remember, it's not metame as a nevela. It's only metame when you swallow it. There's no din of Tumas Maga or anything like that, and Nivlat of Tahar. But the question is, what about if something touches it? Is it considered to be a foodstuff or not? So this is generally speaking, people will not eat a dead bird. So it requires a makshava. But once there is that makshava, it does not require heksha. So you do not need to have water falling on it or for it to touch a sheretz. Because since, as we're going to see, so for the time it tumah chamura, the din is that that's makshiv it like a dinim of tumah v'taira, and it's automatically tummy as if it touched something tummy. Now, why does it need a makshava? L'maisa mimah, I'm assuming that this is a dead bird, that you were raising these birds, yeah? So you find a chicken dead. That's already the time to myself. But only if you're makashiv. Why? The whole time you were raising it on your farm, you were raising it for food. So that would show that Alma Makshevet Chayim Lav Shmei Makshava. So if while it's alive, that's not sufficient to be magdered as a foodstuff, then the equivalent case by a plant is that a Makshevet Chibur Lav Shmei Makshava. In other words, a plant that's connected to life is the equivalent of a bird that's connected to living. Same exact thing. Now, Yotaina, that there never was a Makshava even when it was alive, to eat it in any other state but through Shrita. So, I mean, isn't that sort of like a conditional makshava? So Tosis points out that there's no such idea, that if it would be considered to be a proper makshava during its lifetime, that makshava creates the Shema Eichlin on it. It doesn't lose the Shema Eichlin just because it died. It would need to be Pasol Me'achilas Kerev, like anything that was once defined as an Eichlin. But what this means is that the concept of makshava that we deal with here is not to be seen as equivalent of intent, like by a neder. So that a person said, well, I never had a makshavas eichlin in the case that it would die. I only had a makshavas eichlin in terms of shechita. That's irrelevant. The makshava is simply to give it a din as a foodstuff. Then it takes over on its own, whatever happens to it. Okay, that's dependent on what takes away the din of a foodstuff. But we don't look at that makshava as being conditional. There's no meaning to a condition in a makshava. A mamela, it would be considered to be earthling, and that's another push the Gemara doesn't even attack Rava's raya on that basis. Yeah, we're going to see. So how in the world could you actually deny that? Says Rabbi Zera, I can deny it very simply. I don't see it's a raya. Maybe over here it's talking about a bird that fell from the sky, a dead bird, kosher bird. So it was a dove. You find a dead bird. No? So who's to say you had a makshav on it when it was mechayim? We're not talking about that case. So ocho begozo shenafal min arum haskina. It wasn't here that we should be viewing it as a foodstuff. Omalei abaye. How are you going to get away with saying that that's the case if we end up a little bit later bringing a raya from the Tarnagolet in Yavne, which of course is in Barnea's neighborhood, to a Tarnagolet in Yavne, where over there a Tarnagolet is undoubtedly not falling from the sky, and over there we discuss the din of Makshava on it or not, even though it was Lefanenu Mechayim. There we were talking about the din of Kabbalah Stuma Zerchlin. Oh, Marley, don't be silly. Yavne. The case over there was that it was a Tarnagol Varah. It was a wild turkey. Now, the Tarnagol Varah is the name, as we remember, please close the door, is the name, as we remember from Chulin, is the name of the species. Obviously, Rabbi Zera's intent was not the species which was called a Tarnagovra, because that species is not Tor, it's Tome, and therefore it's irrelevant to the whole discussion. But he meant that it was a Tarnago that grew in the wild, or that had walked away from the farm, and it wasn't part of the way that it was being raised. The Talmidim, however, took it pepashtus, that it was a Tarnagovra, it was that type of Tarnago. So everybody burst out laughing. Silly pshat. Achikoale, Tarnagovra. The Tarnagovra is an Ov Tame. An Ov Tame, become a Tame. There's no Tuma at all, even as an Avela. There's no Tuma of an Ov Tame. Omalo Abaye. So Abaye said to them, Gavra Rab Omar Milta. If a great person says something, you don't laugh at him. You try to figure out what he's talking about. So Gavra Rab Omar Milta, Lot Achikoale. What he meant was not a Tarnagovra as a species. He meant a Tarnagol Shemarda. The word bara means wild. The Ivroi Mimara, it's become freed from its owner. That's the point. Ruf Papa Amar, that case of the Tarnagolet in Yavne was a Tarnagulta de Agma Avoy. The Tarnagulta de Agma is a kosher bird. So you don't have to say it was a Tarnagol that had run away. Tarnagolet, there's types of Tarnagolets that by definition they grow in the wild. And that's a different species. It's the Tarnagol to the Agma. This is Rav Papa Lashitata. The Omer of Papa, Tarnagol to Agma. The Tarnagol to Agma is Osir. The Tarnagol to the Agma is Sharia. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean the male and the female are the same species. There is a species called the Kak of the Agam. So that's what do they call it in English? Swamp. The swamp cock. And then there's another bird that's called the swamp hen. Fine. They're not the same species. It's two different species. They both have males and females, obviously. But the one that is called the Tarnagulta, that's the one that is a kosher species. The way to remember which one is which, Amoni velo Amonit. So the male is also to be Babakal. The female is mutter. So if you're the species named for the male, is usher to come on your table, because it's treif. And the other species is kosher. And the reason why, as Dorish Marima, the Tanagul to the Agma is asira, because once Chazur Rabban and the Darsava Akhla, they saw that it actually went to grab its food with its feet. It's about machlokas, exactly what Drisa is. But since that's a simen of a tome bird, they offered it. Ba'ano Giruta, and that, in fact, is what we call the Giruta that we spoke about in Chumen.
Yes.
What it sounds.
Well, it's well, it's the Tanago to that.
Yes. Yeah.
Perfect timing. And there is a shita that learns, Tosfos even brings it here, but in the end doesn't like it very much. In Chulun, we just spoke about it, that there's actually a difference between the male of the species and the female of the species, and that because there's a difference in the simonim in the zocher and in the kevas. The zocher is also because you don't see simoni tire in it. And obviously, that's problematic because of many issues. I mean, how do you split 1 min into two different things for the Zohar and the Keva? And anyway, which Tosfos says, okay, that much isn't a problem because Kala Yotzimina Torah Torah is only said the Gabi mammals. Over here, the mother simply lays an egg. So over there, not necessarily. Here, the Zohar becomes Osir. Okay, but we'll stick with the pshat that we've said. Tana Rabbah. Gozel shenafal legat. We have a case where a kosher bird falls into a wine press, into the boar, and now it's gotten, obviously it's dead, and it's covered with wine, and it's soaking. V'chishav alav lahalotu lekuti. And the owner decided, you know, I'll take it out, and I'll give it to the Arab who works here. What do they care? So there the din is that it's tameh. But if he had in mind, I'll fish it out and I'll feed it to the dog, so then the kelevah would be tohar. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, af lekelev tamei. Not because Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that a makshevas achila for a kelev is tamei, but because Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that you don't need bichlal a makshava on it because it's a kosher bird. Omer of Yochanan ben Nui, and I'll explain to you my svar. Kal v'chomer. This kosher bird is an ivlat of tahor. So if it's betame tumah chamura shelo b'machshava, I don't need to be machshav as an ochel. If I'm eating it, it's going to be betame. So it's not going to be betame tumah kala shelo b'machshava. I mean, tumah kala is only legabe tumah seichli. So obviously it'll be mekabel tumah without machshava. Well, I understand. What's the comparison? Lo imamre betumah chamura shekeinena yoredet l'kach. Of course, tumah chamura doesn't have these requirements. Whatever these requirements are, it's not clear. Maybe it's referring to hetch, and we're going to explain it later. So it doesn't have these low-level requirements, but tumah kala does have this problem of requiring whatever it is, makshava, hetch, or whatever, we'll see.
Is tumah chamura, derisa, and tumah kala is to the bottom?
No, not necessarily.
No,
tumah chamura is that it's an avatuma. Tumah kala is that it's a gabiyot kunumashka. Shekin yored et akak. So it has these lower-level requirements. Marla and so he Rabbi Yochanan ben Nui said to them, "What are you going to say about the Tarnagolet Shabiyav Netochia? We're over there. It is Yored Lekach, and anyway, they were Metame the Tarnagolet Shabiyavna. They were Metame at Shalom Bemachshava, which was exactly a case like this, where there was a dead Tarnagol, and they wanted to know whether it was Makabel to Maserchlin, and the Chachamim were Metame it even without Machshava." So you see that even though it's Yored Lekach, it's Matami to Mezerichlin. Omro lo, so they said to Rabbi Yochanan, you bring a raya from the Tanakhola, Chibiyavna. Kutima Yusham. That Barnea brings people from God knows where to dig there, Yavna. And they had decided that they would eat it. So there was a Machshava there. That's your answer to the question of what would be considered. It's just a Kelab, it's not a Chila. It's a human being, it's a Chila. So first of all, let's discuss, as the Gemara b'Mayaskina, what are we talking about here in Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's case, the Machlokas? I mean, if we're talking about Bikrachim, so we're living in the big city, and the big city is always someone that'll eat anything. So if we're sitting in the Krachim, then there's no din of needing Machshava. You do not require anything, because by definition it's humid foodstuff, and you do not need to be makshir to be makabel tumah, because it's sort of latami tumah chamura, and therefore it cannot be talking about the krachim. Because it says beferish in the Mishnah, nivlat behimat tahora bechol makom, which is far more edible, and nivlat ta'of tahor bekrachim, is ein tzrichin lo makshava v'lo hechsher. You do not need to have somebody specifically think of it. Now, of course, the question of Nivlat Ov is a little bit strange, and Nivlat Behemah is a little bit strange, because Nivlat Behemah is Tameh. What's the check to talk about whether it needs a Machshava, Megavi Tumas Eichlin? But, of course, wherever we talk about this issue, it's in terms of being Mitztaref less than a Shear of Nevela. Will it be Mashlin the Shear for Eichlin to be Makabo Tumah? That's the question. If we have a Kezias and Nevela to be Metameh, we want to add it to the Beitza of Eichlin. Shabbos won't be mekabel tumah as eichler. Fine. But in any event, we cannot be talking about bikrachim. Okay. So then what are we talking about? We must be talking about Ela Bikfarim. It's got to be talking about a small town. So then, is there anybody who holds mikol aman yomer de lo boi machshava? There's somebody who holds you don't need machshava. Now, this is a little bit of a strange question. As Tosfos points out, obviously, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says you don't need machshava. Ever, even the Kvarim. It's because of the Kal V'chomer. Kal V'chomer doesn't change from Tumah Chamura. It doesn't change between Kvarim and anywhere else. So what kind of funny question is this? So Tosfos explains that the Gemara's question is, why would the Rabbanan, in the case of Kvarim, require to deal with this situation dafka because it was nafal legat? Anyway, in the Kvarim, it would need Machshava. So the very fact that we're talking about Nafal Migat has got to mean that there's a reason why this is a particular case that's only not going to be Matam without Machshava, because it was Nafal Migat. That's what it means. But we recognize, of course, the Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri disagrees with this. We can't say that just because the Mishnah said what's not, Nivlat Beimat Me'ah B'chol Makom Nivlat Tov Tahor Bakvarim Tzricha Machshava V'ina Tzricha Hechsher. So the problem over here is, Aliba the Rabbana, why do the Rabbana require Nafalagat? Why don't we say Stam, if it's in the Kvarim, it requires Heksher anyway? answers the Gemara, because we're talking about over here in the Krach, Omer Abzira Bechanina, Leolam Bechrach, I shall say, if it's Bechrach, why do you need Machshava? I thought somebody's bound to eat it. Ah, that's the point. Since Gito Ma'asato, it became so disgusting by falling into the garden, sitting there drooping and blechi, that turned it into the equivalent of kikvar. That's why the Rabbanan say that even though it's a krach, for all intents and purposes, it has limited eaters, and therefore we need to have somebody who's going to have a specific machshava. Okay, now let's take a look back at the conversation between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Rabbanan and come to understand what exactly we were talking about with those words in Yoredet Lekach, continues the Gemara. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri comes along and says, look, it's a kal vachomer. If it's metamatu mechamura shelo b'machshava, should it not be metamatu mekala shelo b'machshava? To which the Chachamim replied, no, lo imamatu tumechamurshkin ene yoredet lekach. It doesn't go down to needing these things. What were they referring to? My ene yoredet lekach. Doesn't get down to needing what? So Omar Rava, what they were saying was, look, lo imamatu tumechamura. Tuma chamura, they weren't talking about what it doesn't need. They were saying, Tuma chamura is ina yoredet lakach. It doesn't get to being able to do what Tuma kala does. That's what it means. She came ina osaka yotseba. Tuma chamura, by definition, is always attenuated, one level down. So if somebody now swallows a nivlas of tohar, so it's vatami that odam. So now that odam, however, cannot go and be metame an Adam to be metame somebody, right? Because he's not an Avatum, he's a Rishon Atuma. So he can't be metame the Adam, the same way that the Oph was metame him as an Adam. So that means that it's always going downhill. When we're talking about Tumakala, Eichlin can be metame other Eichlin. And therefore, in a sense, Tumakala is more Chomer. That's backwards. You can include that in the Kol Shekein of Rabbi Yochanan. Because Kol Dechenu, if Tuma Chamura, which is Kal, in the sense that it's Ina Osika Yotzipa, is nonetheless Vetama Shaloba Machshava, so certainly Tuma Kala, which is Chomur, in the sense that it is Osika Yotzipa, so then for sure it should be Vetama Shaloba Machshava. What kind of backwards argument is that to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? Elam Rav Sheshes, and I'll take a point, is like this. Ene yoredet lekach means it doesn't get down to such low-level requirements. So it means like this. Lo imamet to Tuma Chamura. Tuma Chamura doesn't require hechsher. So mameilev, it doesn't require hechsher, doesn't require machshava. But tomar v'tuma kala, shetzricha hechsher. Mashenkin, you're talking about legabi being mekabo, tumas eichlin. Tumas eichlin requires hechsher. It does, not in this case. Mitzricha Hechsher. We're talking about a Nivlas of Tohar. Remember the Mishnah says, what's that? The Shloshad Varim that are unique over here, that were said by Nivlat Tohar, Legabe, of Tohar, Legabe, the Din of Tumas Eichlin. It's Tricha Machshava. First of all, it has to be considered to be an Eichel. And then when it is an Eichel, it's only Metame in the Beit Habliya. And Legabe Kabolas Tumas Eichlin, it doesn't require action. And it's Ritha Hesh. What are you telling me? That this is Yoredet Lekach, but it is, this one isn't Yoredet Lekach. Not true. Both the Tuma Chamura and the Tuma Kala is not Yoredet Lekach to require action. Well, maybe that means it doesn't require action in the sense of it doesn't require touching something that's Tame. Because the Tuma that's innate in it, and that Tuma that's innate in it, is the Tuma that ultimately causes it to become tame, even as an eichlin. Will be metame, it doesn't have to touch a sheretz, but it still needs to be called an eichlin to fall water on it, has to be put on it. So is the one that's not true? You're claiming need extra sheretz, so by extra mayim is by? That's absolutely not true. Because what's the whole mocker that it doesn't require extra sheretz? You're saying it's going to be metame without ever touching something tame, because in itself is innately tame. How do you know that? You know it from the Tanna Devei Rabbi Shmuel, which we'll talk about in a moment. But the Tanna Devei Rabbi Shmuel says you don't need Hekshemayim either. From the very same Pasuk. According to the Tanna Devei Rabbi Shmuel, Hekshemayim nami loti boy. Why do you need Hekshemayim? to the Tana de Beir Rabbi Yishmael. The Tana de Beir Rabbi Yishmael, what does the pasuk mean? When it says, V'chi yipom nivlatam alav, meaning, al kol zera zeruah asher yizareah, it says. So that means that it has to be similar. But using Zroyim asher yizareah, it has to be similar to Zroyim. Zroyim ain't self in the time to Mechamura. Those Zroyim need Heksher. Now that is talking about Heksher Mayim as well. It's part of the same Sugya. The Zerah Asher Yizareah is only where Mayim falls on it, and then Yipom Minivlatam Alav. So therefore, only things which are similar to Zerah require Heksher on any level. Both Heksher Mayim and Heksher of Yipom Minivlatam. So afkol she'in tzarf alatam etu b'chamurat tzrichim hechsher. Yotzta nivlat of tahar, exactly, and nivlat of tahar does not require a hechsher of any kind. She'sof alatam etu b'chamurat, it is going to be matam etu b'chamurat b'beit ha'bliya. That doesn't require a hechsher of any kind. So don't try to tell me that the Rabbonin meant to say to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that this is your redditor kach and requires hechsher. It's not your redditor kach. El Amar Ravi, Tamer of Papa, misunderstand. We're not arguing from the case. We're saying, in general, does Tuma Chamura have lower requirements than Tuma Kala? Yes. Tuma Chamura never requires Hefsher. In general, Tuma Kala requires, I understand that in this case, it happens to be unique, that the very fact that it is Batami Tuma Chamura is what takes off the need for Hefsher. But that's not the point I'm trying to make. I'm trying to make the point that you cannot bring a raya vis-a-vis machshava that it's unnecessary for Tuma Chamura and therefore claim it's unnecessary for Tuma Kala. That doesn't make sense. So we're asking shum Tuma Chamura ba'ela, shum Tuma Kala ba'ela. We're talking about the general category of Tuma Chamura that does never require extra versus the category of Tuma Kala, which in general, except for this very unique case, does require Tumachava. Kol shechayav b'masrot v'tamei tumat ochlim. V'yeshe v'tamei tumat ochlim v'eino chayav b'masrot. Latuyei mai, latuyei basar v'dagim u'betzim. Kol shechayav b'peya chayav b'masrot. V'yeshe chayav b'masrot v'eino chayav b'peya. Latuyei mai, latuyei te'ina v'yerek she'eino chayav b'peya. It's not. Klal amru b'peya. Kol shu ocha v'nishma v'gidulo min ha'aretz l'kitato ke'achad u'machniso l'kiyum, only if it has all five, chayav v'peya. Ocha l'mute, for instance, v'chesate v'kutza, which are dyes, nishma l'mute efke, gidulo min ha'aretz l'mute k'mei mupitria l'kitato ke'achad l'mute te'ina machniso l'kiyum l'mute yerek. Now contrast that to the set of Maaser Chiyuvim, where it only Tznan, Koshu, Ochel, V'nishmar, V'gidulam, and Aret, and only three things is Chayiv Maaser, does not require Lekita Tokiachad, and Magnus Olekiyum, Lokatonim. By the way, Himayubam, Shuminu, Mitzalim, which are Magnus Olekiyum, so then there would be Chayiv even in Peyat, the Tan Malbinot, Bitzalim, Shabin Ayerek, Rabbi Yosef, Amir Peyam, Mikola Chavechad, Chachomim, Omri Meachat Alakor, but definitely Peyat. Omer Rabba Barbachanam, Rabbi Yochanan, Ulshin, Shezara'an, Mitchila La Beima, Vinim Lachalayan Ladan, Tzrikot Machshava Lekeshi Taleshu, Kasava Bakshevet Chibur, Lavshma Machshava. Omar Rava Afanana Mitvina, Shlosha Sodvorim Nemru Benivlat of Tahor, Vizekad Mian, Sukha Makshava Vena Tsukha Eksha. So what do you see from there? Then Makshavat Chayim Lavshma Makshava. So Finam Makshavat Chibur Lavshma Makshava. Rabbi Zeromer, Hacha Begozal Shanafal Ben Aruma Skina, Dolahavi Kaman, Dolakshavua Allah. I'm like, what are you going to do about the Tanagola Shabiyav? Namaikala Mema. Omar le, nah, that was a Tarnago bra. Achiko le, Tarnago bra. That's an Ov Tameyu. Ov Tameyu is not Matame at all. Nika Matame. Omar lo Abaye, will you guys shut up? Gavar Rabba Mamilta, Lot Achiko le. He didn't mean the species of Tarnago bra, obviously. He was talking about a Tarnago, the Chimarda. Umay Vara, the Ivre Imi Mara. Rav Papa Omar, Tarnagulta de Agma Avoy. This is Rapapala Time, idioma of Papa. The Tarnagulta Agma is Asur. The Tarnagulta de Agma is Sharia Vasivanecha, Amoni Velo Amodit. Dorash Mariman. Tarnagulta de Agma Asira, because Chazio Rabban and the Dorsa Vaachlo. And that is the bird we call the Giruta, which the descendants of the Shloh call the turkey. Tan Rabbana, Gozal Shenafal Gat, Vechishav Alav La'alotol L'Kuti, Tameh, but Vechishav La'alotol L'Kelev Tahor. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, why are we discussing this? Af L'Kelev Tameh, Om Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Kav Chomer, Im Metami Tumech Hamura Shelo B'Machshava, Lo Yetami Tumech Kala Shelo B'Machshava. אמרו לו, לא אם אמרת בתומך אמורה, שכן הנה יורדת לכך. תאמר בתומך הלא, שכן יורדת לכך. אמר להם, תרנגולת שביבנה תוכיה, שיורדת לכך ותימור שלו במחשבה. אמרו לו, משום ראיה, קוטים היו שם וחשבו עליו לאכילה. סונה במה יסכינה? אילה מבקרחים, סולמה למחשבה. הצדן נבלעת בימת תורה בכל מקום, ונבלעת עוף טהור והחלב בקרחים, אין צריכים לו מחשבה ולא יחשב. אלא בקברים, מי כלמד יום לא בואי מחשבה. הצדן נבלעת בימת תמיה בכל מקום, ונבלעת עוף טהור בקברים, צריכה מחשבה ואין צריכה יחשב. עומר וזיר בחנינה לא אולם בקרח, ותאג אבל גיתו מעשתו, and that turns it into a kvar. Anyway, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri tainted as a kavachomer. Im metame to mechamura shelo b'machshava, why wouldn't it be metame to mekala shelo b'machshava? Amru lo lo im amarta betu mechamura, shiken eni yoredet lakach. What did eni yoredet lakach mean? Omar Rav Avikamala, lo im amarta betu mechamura, shiken eno osaka yotzeba, it doesn't get down to such powerful types of impacts. Tomar betumakala, that even that which was metamias to makala is still turn around to be metame oichlin. So tumakala is a kayotziba. It's on the contrary. That actually makes Rabbi Yochanan's position even stronger. Because then it's a kosher cake. If ma tumachamura, which is kal in the sense that it's ain't osik yotziba, is nonetheless betame shelo b'machshava. So if a guy is eating this thing, without realizing it. When he bought a piece of chicken in Muncie, he's supposed to know it's a nivla sof tar. So Mamela, but he eats it, and he's metami, but nivla sof tar. So to Makala, to Kamira, the Osaka, it's supposed to obviously it should be metami shalva makshava. Elam, Rav Jeshesha, Sachakama. Lo imamarta, but to Makamura, shikinina tzricha heksha. Toma, but to Makala, shatricha heksha. What says there more? Nivla Softar is Tricha Hekshafa to Makala. Vatan Shoshit Varim Demrim Nivla Softar, Tricha Makshava. But Ina Matan Bela Bebeta, we have Ina Tricha Hekshafa. Yeah, but that just means it doesn't need extra sheriff. It still requires extra Mayim. Boy, I don't know, where do you get that from? Mayim should extra sheriff still, boy. Get it done in the very Bishma from the Pasik. So too, of course, of any kind. Not mine either. We just mean in the general sense. And in the general sense, there's never a tumah chamura ba'elam that requires action. And in a general sense, tumah kala ba'olam does require action. Not in this particular case, but you certainly can't bring a raya from the requirements or lack of requirements of akshava for tumah chamura to a punitive lack of requirements for akshava and tumah kala.
That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you shall hear the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11.
Okay, Sabotage, we're on.
I don't even know what daf we're on.
Oh my goodness. Well, then let me make the daf announcement first. We're holding today on daf Nun in Maseches Nidah. And we managed to get all the way up to the first Mishnah on the Daf, and now Sabbat Josh will introduce the next Mishnah.
Zukta, Heilige Mishnah.
Kol shechayav b'masrot. Remember that we're continuing the template of kayotzebo. That you can have A that includes B, but B doesn't include A. So the next one we have is anything which is chayav in meiser, is by definition a foodstuff, and therefore it will be betamei tumat ochlim. But there's certainly plenty of things that are metame tumat ochlim, and then nonetheless, they're not going to be chayav in meiser, like basar, dagim, beitzim, and all these things that are not grown from the earth, certainly not chayav in meiser. Kosher chayav bepe, oops. Furthermore, anything which is going to be chayav in peah is by definition going to be chayav in meiser. However, yesh chayav in maasrot ve'no chayav bepeah. It's possible to be chayav in meiser and not to be chayav in peah. Just to make one thing clear, it's referring over here to species, not situations. It's easy to find a situation where you will be chayav and pay and still be potter or meiser, because the meiser requires you to take it into the house and has to have gemar malacha for meiser and so on and so forth. But in terms of a species, whatever the situation is in how the species, even more than the species, even including how the species was grown, it's going to vada be chayav and meiser. But the other way around, not necessarily. You can be chayav and meiser without being chayav and payer. What does this include? La te'imai. Well, there's a unique situation, first of all, of the te'ina. The te'ina is not chayav in payer. The reason for that is because the te'ina is not collected all at one time. It's a very unusual tree, so that it produces its fruit over a period of time. There's no one day in which you do l'kitat te'inim. That's why the Torah is compared to a te'ina. And it's because every day you go out there, you find more fruit. Off the same tree. So being as there's no actual day of l'kita, there's no time to leave the peah either. We learn this from the pasuk. And the other thing that's not included is vegetables. There's no chiyav of peah on vegetables, even though there's a chiyav of meiser on vegetables. Look at this. You almost finished tea time. The weather was getting better, and now you're back to tea time. So now it's, I'm afraid it's going to be out of chapter 11 into chapter 13. He's not American anyway. What does he know from chapters? Yes, we'll talk about the Tosfos is going to discuss why the Rabbanim would have made these differences. We'll talk about that in a moment. It's not. Where do we get this idea? Like this. The klal bepeah. If you want to define what's chayav in peah, we find that the requirements for chayav in peah are more stringent. Because it says klal amru bepeah. Kol shuhu ochel. First of all, it has to be a foodstuff. The nishmar. It has to be grown in a way that is kept watch over. In other words, it's not hefker that it just popped up somewhere. The gidulom in arts, it has to be something that grows in the ground. The kitato ke'achad, it has to be something that has one time that you're able to collect all of the finished product. Umach nisola kiyum, and it has to be storable. All of those things are chayav b'peah. Now let's go through them one by one. Ochel, it has to be a foodstuff. I mean, what is that for? Obviously, no. The mute sviche satim v'kutza. For instance, you can have the svichim, which are the secondary growth of satim and kutza, which are types of dye stuffs. And they're usually used for dye and not for eating. And Rashi learns the reason it says svichim as opposed to the actual main planting, is because indeed the original fruits are roi lachila. Or, Tosfos says it may be just the opposite here, maybe the svichim are more roi lachila than they are for dying, and afal pikin is telling me that they're not chayav in peah, because this is essentially a dye rather than essentially a food. Then we have nishmar as the next requirement. Nishmar means lemeute hefker. If it's hefker, then not chayavin peya. Gidulo min haaretz. That's to exclude kmeimi pitriot. Truffles and various fungi, mushrooms. They're not included because they're not called, actually. Sosva says that it makes more sense over here to read yonet min haaretz rather than gadlo min haaretz, because the Gemara in Brocha says they're considered to be gidulei adonah. They're just not yonet min haadonah. And the requirement over here to exclude them would not be gidulo min haaretz, but rather yinuko min haaretz. These things do not get their nourishment through a root system that comes from the ground. It all has to be collected on the day. That's the mute teina. Teina grows every day more fruit. And has to be storable. The mute yerek. That excludes vegetables. You cannot store vegetables long term. They simply wither away. Now, by meiser, however, what's interesting is that we have an equivalent list of requirements, but it's less stringent. So you can have more things chayv and meiser than you have in peya. What? Other trees you gather one? Yeah, sure. You have one day in which you gather all of the fruit. Sure, we leave peya on trees. It's not. Koshuhu ochel. What does it say by meiser? Okay, ochel has to be the same. Nishma has to be the same. Idulam and aretz has to be the same. That's all it says? Note that it leaves out l'kitator ke'achad, and it leaves out makriso l'kiyum. So l'kitator ke'achad and makriso l'kiyum lo katani. That means that there, it's easier to be chayiv and meiser than it is to be chayiv and peya. Which means that anything that's chayiv and meiser is not necessarily going to be chayiv and peya. But anything that's chayiv and peya is certainly going to be chayiv and meiser. And that's precisely what our Mishnah said. By the way, don't think that the vegetables exclude anything that we call a vegetable, because certainly garlic or onions you can store, right? So they would be chayiv even in peya, because they're not excluded from the matnisa l'kiyum. Everybody puts onions and garlic aside and stores them.
Is it a store of garlic?
You mean even to preserve them?
Yeah.
Im hayu bahem shumim ubetzalim. There you're certainly chayev even in peya. And as a matter of fact, that's a mission of affairs. Says in peya that malbeinot betzalim shebein hayerek, you have rows of onion planted between vegetables. Rabbi Yossi says you have to take out separate peya on each row, because the vegetables in between are like a hepsik. So you can't view this as one field. The row itself becomes a separate field. I have to leave peya from that field. Then you skip the next row of the green pepper, and you go to the next row of onions. You leave again peya. But each one has to have its own peya. Whereas the Chachomim say you could take peya from the whole thing, me'achat alakol, and the vegetables are not considered to be a separate field to make each one now separate. We look at it as a one large field that has onions and vegetables. So we leave the onions at the end, the vegetables we don't have to leave. Now, the Shaila is like this, as our dear president raised the issue. Tosfos asks, anyway, the fact is that Midyaraisa, this is Roshitas, there's no din of peya or meiser on any of these things. It has to be dagan, tirosh, v'yitzar. We learn it out. These things are neither dagan, nor tirosh, nor yitzar. Dagan would only include the chamisha minei dagan, and then we would have the gefen, and we would have the zayit. That's all. So teina is not included. So why, therefore, as Tosfos, it seems very arbitrary that the Chachamim should make up different requirements for the Chiyav of Meiser min Rabbonan than the Chiyav of Peya min Rabbonan. Mishleim, if this was a D'oraisa, I understand. But why did the Rabbanan give us these strange differences? I mean, make up your mind. Whatever you wanted, make a chiyavan, make a chiyavan. So it does give us a very interesting explanation, beautiful explanation. It's in terms of, it's like what we like to think of today, in terms of the energy requirements of the collection of food versus what you get out of the food once you've collected it. Very fascinating. In modern terms, that's how we looked at it, the energy efficiency. The Tosfos Tain is that to have the aniyim waiting on the lakita of a ta'ina, which is never going to be complete, is simply energy inefficient. They're going to miss out on other things that we do complete it. For what? For a couple of ta'inim? It's just not worth it. So a male, better not to be matzeh the aniyim. It isn't g'day. And as far as Yerik is concerned, it's basically the same thing. Because Yerakot are just simply not worth waiting around for. Because how much of it are you going to be able to eat? They're not that choshev anyway. And they're going to wither up the next 2 days anyway. So to have aniyim wasting their time out of desperation, sitting and waiting for Yerakot, or waiting for Teina, is not g'day for the aniyim. So they didn't make a takoda to give payah for these things in the first place, out of concerns for energy efficiency. Fascinating terms. Scattered. Yeah. Omar Rabba Bar Bachana Rabbi Yochanan. There are certain things, for instance, endives, that it depends what your bakshava is. Sometimes they are grown for animal feed. Endives. It's like a leek kind of thing. So sometimes they're grown for behema, and sometimes they're grown for adam. Now, if you planted a field of oshin for animal feed, and then you change your mind, after they grow, you decide, you know what? Maybe we'll market them, take them to market, sell it for people. V'nimlach alayem la'adam. The shayla is like bishlema, something which is a foodstuff for people. Now, it's a given. This is what it's grown for. Then, when such a thing becomes wet and touches something that's tamei, it automatically is tamei. But if it's not a foodstuff, you need machshava to make it a foodstuff. So there's three requirements for tumah. A, that it be an ochel, which sometimes requires machshava. B, that it has hechsher, which means that it has to have come in contact with some of the liquids that the Torah gave us, like water, like tal, or like dam, or like milk, or like oil. Well, and the third requirement is that it needs to touch something that's tummy to make it tummy, right? Now, the reason I'm talking this out is because the sukkah is going to make different requirements for these three things. It's important to recognize we're talking about three different issues. Machshava, heksher, meaning heksher mayim, and the third level of heksher is heksher sheretz, so to speak, to touch sheretz bimatam. Here, I'm talking about the first stage, machshava. So something that was originally planted for a behema. Now, while it's growing, I decide I'm going to make it for another. Doesn't help. After I harvest it, I need to once again be miyachedit for achilas fadr. Chod makshava l'kishiyitaleshu. After you disconnect it from the ground, then it needs makshava. Why is this? Clearly, kasavar makshavet chibur lachshma makshava. When you have a makshava on something that in its current state cannot be makabel tuma because of the fact that it's mechuber to the ground, and anything mechuber to the ground is impervious to tuma. The fact that you were makashiv as an eichlin while it was connected, therefore, is meaningless. And it retains the first definition, which is that it's michael behema, because that's what it was planted for. in order to give it a din of Eichlin, you're going to need to be mechashev that this is Eichlin for Adam after the time of Talisha. Omar Rava said, Rava, this is a very interesting halacha that Rav Yochanan is quoted as saying, but we have a raya actually from Tanoim. Afana Nami Tanina, the famous Mishnah of the 13 things which were said Lagabi Nivlas Eif Tahar. Remember, we've had this so many times. Yud Gimel Dvarim Nemru B'Nivlat Of Tahar V'Zeh Echad Mehem. One of the things that is said about Nivlas Of Tahar is Tzricha Machshava. It has to have a Machshava V'Eina Tzricha Hechsher, but it does not require Hechsher. So what does this mean? That if it's a Nivlas Eif Tahar, then you still need to be mechashev that it's roi lachila for people. Even though it's an avela, nobody's going to eat it. Now the fact is that when it was alive, that's what you were growing it for. You got a chicken. Why are you growing a chicken? To eat. Now the chicken dies. So now you're saying, in order for it to be matame and adam when he swallows it, which is the only tumor that we have on Nivla Seif Tahar, you have to once again be meyachedit as a human food. So what do you see? That the fact that you considered it to be royal achila for humans while it was alive is meaningless. You have to define now what it is after it's able to be makabel tumor as a foodstuff, correct?
Human being royal.
Sure. Remember that, maybe we should get a little bit of a background here. Remember that a Nivlas of Tahar is unique. That even though it's so full of Tamei Tuma Chamura, it's going to be an Avela if it's eaten. But only if it's eaten. And then it'll be Matami the Adam to be Matami the Begadim that are on him. It's a very Chamur Tuma, like the mass of an Avela, right? Could be Matami, even his clothing. But is it a foodstuff as well? In other words, suppose you have now a kibetza of this material and it touches something tummy. Is it tummy? Well, if you did not consider it to be a foodstuff, it's not going to be tummy. Because it was an avela. You had in mind while you were growing it in your chicken coop, you had in mind to eat it. What does that prove? That when something's in a status where anyway it cannot be mekabel tumah, because to be alive is no different than being mechuber lakarka. Just like something mechuber lakarka cannot be mekabel tumah, something alive cannot be mekabel tumah. So you see from here that the fact that you thought about something when it was alive doesn't determine its status now that it's not alive. And in order for it to be makabel tumas eichlin, it needs machshava, which is exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said about urshin, that the fact that you considered it to be human food while it was alive, so to speak, meaning while it was mechuber lakarka, does not mean that it's considered to be human food now that you picked it off of the ground. You have to think about it now, again, and so define it. Because he was being chased by aliens. And if he wouldn't do it, they were going to pick him apart and use him in their terrible experiments at night.
That's motivation.
What? That's strong motivation. Very strong motivation. Part of the experiments. To see what humans do about Tumila Tyra. Could be that it was from a highly advanced Tyra civilization and they wanted to see what people know down here about Tumila Tyra. Who knows? In any event, the next piece is a bit complicated. Those are the next three words, Eina Tzricha Hechsher. In our sugya, Eina Tzricha Hechsher means once it's considered to be a food, it no longer requires touching with water, but even more, in our sugya it means
it doesn't even need to be touched by a sheretz. It becomes automatically tameh. Now, this is not like the way Rashi understands this Mishnah anywhere else. Rashi always learns, Eina tzricha ekshar means it doesn't need to become in contact with water. But it's not going to be tameh until it touches something tameh. Okay, now the Reb Kiveger learns that our sugya in Nida is chelek on the sugya in Chulin, and that's why Rashi is mefarish the sugyas differently. Okay, so normally, according to Rashi, the other Rishonim all take the sugyas being definitive. They try to learn in Chulin also the same way. They ask on Rashi from this sugya. Here it means it doesn't require any type of hechsher, not hechsher mayim, and not hechsher sheretz. What is the logic in this? The logic is that, as we saw in Chulin, kosher sofo l'tamei tum'ah chamura does not require hechsher. In other words, anything which has within it a something that is going to be the root of tuma, as opposed to be makabel tuma, does not have to be makabel tuma from something else in order to become tummy. Basically, you're holding a nevela, except that the nevela is in a state where it cannot exude its own tuma yet, because the only place it can exude its tuma, so to speak, is in the act of swallowing, correct? However, the very fact that you are holding something that contains within it tuma that can't get out means that the thing itself was certainly makabel tuma from itself. Why would it need to come into contact with a sheretz in order to become tummy? So therefore, this would be dyke from a pasuk, as we'll see later, the Tanit Veri Bishvol, which we've had many times before. That anything which in the end is going to be makabel tuma from itself is always tummy, or at least doesn't need action to it. Okay? Are we happy with this? But what's important for us so far is only to establish the first part, that it requires machshava, even though you were planning on eating it while you were growing it. That's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said, Lagabi the Ulshin. So Ulshin is the equivalent of Niblas of Toch.
But with the ocean, you can feed it to the animal or person. You can also decide to feed your chicken to an animal. I mean, what else are you going to do with the chicken?
Throw it in the garbage. It's not very lucky either. It's a dead chicken. It was a chicken. It's confusing two issues. There's two completely different reasons here for why it's not makabel tuma. The ocean are not makabel tuma because they're not eichem for Adam, but are eichem for Behema. And the nivlas of tahar is not makabel tuma without machshava because it's not eichem, period. It's just a piece of carcass, a piece of garbage. Now, so don't we say Alma Machshavat Chayim Lo Shma Machshavas? You see, the way that you were raising it while it was alive does not define its status after it's dead. So Hachanami, Rabbi Yochanan, is right in saying that Machshavat Chibur Lo Shma Machshavas. But what you thought about those Ushin while they were attached to the ground is exactly the same as thinking about something when it's alive. That doesn't prove anything. Rabbi Zeira Amar? Rabbi Zeira says, who's to say it's talking about a chicken? Maybe it's talking about a dead bird that falls from the sky. And you're walking along the street, you find a dead bird that fell down dead. Nobody ever thought it was going to be food. So then you have a dead pigeon, no? So you're telling me that that it has to be talking about a case where it was being raised, and you had a makshava to eat it, and afal pi kein, you need a new makshava now that it's dead. Who said? Nobody ever thought to eat this thing. Nobody ever saw this thing. It was flying on a migratory route of 6,000 miles. Never been seen before by a human being, other than in an IMAX. Now, all of a sudden, it's dead. You're telling me that therefore that proves that even though we had intended to use it while it was alive, it needs to be redefined when it's dead. Nobody intended anything. Certainly. What do you eat at your table? A dead one that wasn't shafted.
A dead pigeon?
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. It's
a Niglas Oath Tahor that had never been assigned in its lifetime to someone's pot. All right? That's the case. Dulo Havi Kamon, Dulo Shevaleo, was never in front of anybody to have Machshava Michayim. But who's to say if there would have really been Machshava Michayim, who's to say that wouldn't have been good enough? Amalei Abaye. So Abaye said to him, so what are you going to do about the famous case of the Tarnagolet Shevi Yavne? How about the Yavne chicken? Sabra Josh can teach us about it. This is often why he goes to Yavne. It's just the Yimid Mikoroi on the dinim of the Yavne chicken. The case with the Yavne chicken, as we'll see later, is where there was a Nivlas, a chicken that was dead. And in order for it to be Tameh, they said it's Tameh because there was a Kuti there, it was a Goy, who had Machshava to eat it. Mashmada, even though it was a chicken, and everybody had intended to eat it, when it died, it needed Machshava again. So how are you going to explain that case? Amalei, so Reb Zera says, it wasn't a chicken from somebody's yard, it was a wild Tarnagol broth. Everybody burst out laughing. Because the Tarnagol Brah is the name of a different species. It's not a wild chicken. It's a different species called the wild chicken, which is a trefet, not a kosher species. They thought that's what he was referring to. We had this back in Kulin, remember? The Tarnagol Brah. So they said the Tarnagol Brah, of Tamehu. And of Tamehu, anyways, I could be Batame. Any, at all. It's not a time to make simple yes. Amalu Abaya turned sternly to the Talmidim and the Beis HaMedrash and said, what kind of business is laughing? Gavar Rav Amar Milsa, a great man, says something, you don't laugh. You try to figure out what he means. Lo tachiko alei. He means not a Tarnagol Brah as a species. He means a normal chicken that ran away and that went wild. It was a hippie chicken. So it was morga, and bra just means the roi mi mora. It became freed from its mara, from its owner, but it certainly was not a tarnagol bra species. With Papa Omar, tarnagol to the agma boy. Papa says, look, it's talking about a tarnagolet, but it means the tarnagolet of the agam, which is in fact a different species. It's a different species. It means the pond chicken. It's a different species. And this is Rapopolishitato. Rapopolishitato says that even though the Tarnagol de Agma is Asr, the Tarnagol to the Agma is Mutter. And the way to remember this is Amoni velo Amonit. Both Rishonim learned that this is a different species. One is called the male and one is called the female. But they don't share the same DNA. There are female Tarnagol Agmas, and they're male Tarnagol to the Agmas. Anyway, Dorish Marema, Tarnagol to the Agma Asira. Marema said, no, not sure the Tarnagol to the Agma actually is Osir, and because you're Rabbanan the Doris Va'achla, the Rabbanan noted that it was Doris and ate. By the way, remember from Chulin, the two different Pirushim and Doreis Va'ocha. Rashi's Pirushim Doreis Va'ocha is that it holds its food down with its feet while it eats to prevent the whole thing from coming up at one time. As most of Shonim and Mepharish Doreis is that it actually grabs its food in flight. But in any event, the Chachamim son, this is one of the simonim of a trefet bird, if it's Doreis Va'ocha. This is why a lot of people don't eat turkeys. The Shalal of the family of the Shalal doesn't eat turkey because they saw a turkey that was buried by a fellow according to Rashi. So, well, the turkey was a trefet bird. Fine. And Vainu Giruta, and that's the bird that's called the Giruta. Giruta, the Gemara said, Ukulin is an oath tummy. Terrible. Gozel shenafal legat. How about a bird, a pigeon is flying, a young pigeon is flying around, and it falls into a vat of wine. V'chishev alav la'alot olakuti, and you decide, you know, let me get it out of the wine, and we'll feed it to the goy. dead bird. All things become stomach.
Why? Stomach?
Sure. Because it's for the tummy to Mahamura. Again, according to this circuit, yeah.
You have to go to the line too. It's
a kosher bird.
A kosher bird. But if you had in mind like Kalev, if you had in mind to feed it to Kalev, then it's tahar, because feeding to a Kalev is not a foodstuff. That's like the ocean of Behema. And therefore it's not called Eichlin at all. What's wrong with the wine? The bird might as well have been alive. As far as the one, it's not tatame. It's not too much. I can't give time to
Maserik.
Hanging
in mind, it
should be for the dog.
For
a dog. Yeah. A dog is not considered to be food. Dog food is not food. It's not tummy at all. It won't be matame you as an adam, even if you do swallow it.
But this is only the after the flood, after you found the bird, obviously.
If what?
There's no pre-tanai, it has to be after the bird is dead inside the line.
You only found it at that point.
You can't say any bird that will follow the
bird. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Omer, afle kelev tamei. It's even tamei for a kelev, and that's because, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, you don't require a makshava. Something which is a foodstuff doesn't need a makshava to be a foodstuff. A gozel is a foodstuff. Omer of Yochanan ben Nuri Kavakomer. I don't understand you guys. Imetami tu mechamura shalo b'machshava. If somebody who eats this thing without thinking about it's being roi lachima, he had no idea, let's say, that this was a dead bird. Somebody feeds it to him. It's still going to be metami tu mechamura, so it shouldn't be metami tu mechala shalo b'machshava. Shouldn't be called a foodstuff, the havna, tumas, eichlin. Omrulo, so they said to him, now this, what they said to him is very difficult to understand. It's left rather vague, and the Gemara is going to start later analyzing what is the meaning of what they said to him. But what they said to him was like this. Lo imam mitbetumach hamura shekin eina yoredet lakach. What does tumach hamura prove? After all, tumach hamura never gets into it. Guess it means never gets into machshava anyway. Tomar b'tumah kala shekein yoredet l'kach. Whereas tumah chamura does get involved in it, whatever it is, apparently, machshava. Amar lahem, so he told them, tarnagolet shebiyata tochiyah. News, what about the case of tarnagolet yavna? Tarnagolet yavna yoredet l'kach. V'timuah shalava machshava. What, the tarnagolet yavna we're talking about? Oichlin. So it's Yoredes L'Makshava, gets involved in L'Makshava. They said it was Tamei. Omrulo, they said to him, Misham Raya. Kutim HaYisham, they were going over there. As soon as they saw the dead bird, they wanted to put in a challenge pot for their Kuti Shabbos. So Kutim HaYisham V'Chishvu Ala L'Archila. Now, by the way, I mean, first of all, what are we talking about? What am I asking now? If we're talking about in a city, the Krachim, in the Krachim, we know from the Mishnah that you don't need Makshava, because in a large city, there's always somebody crazy enough to eat anything.
Including, it doesn't matter if it's Makshava or Koya, obviously.
No, it doesn't matter. What's that? Nivlat Behemato Rabbe Chomakam. A dead animal, even in a smaller town. And a nivlas of tahar in a krach, or chelav in a krach, ein tzrichim lo machshava v'lo hefsher. It doesn't need machshava to make it into foodstuff, because minastam, it's a foodstuff. There's always somebody who's going to buy it. They go walking down in the market in Thailand or in Beijing and see what they're selling for food. So it doesn't require machshava, and it also doesn't require hefsher. Again, here heksher means doesn't require mayim, and we're understanding it to mean it doesn't require maga in a sheretz either. And this is a little bit problematic because of the word chelav. And Tosfos indeed suggests to get rid of this word chelav, because Chelev is not so for the time of Tumah Chamura. The Torah specifically says that Chelev is not the time, even if it's of an Avela. So therefore, why would it not require Hefker?
And there's a difference between Chelev from a kosher or a non-kosher?
It's not matam.
No?
There's two possibilities over here, but the Chelev of an Avela of a Tahira is for sure not going to be Tame Tumah Chamura. And if we're talking about, Tosis points out that it doesn't work out, because if you're talking about a Bei Mitzmeya, then it's not the Bar of Barachim in a Kvar. Here it says even in a Kvar. Right? So we can't be talking about Nivlas Behema when you say over here, we're talking about in a Kvar. Because why would you need Machshava? If we're talking about a Kvar, so then it does need Machshava, the Kvarim. You've got a dead pig, for instance, or you have a nivlas of tahor, and you're in a kvar, there you do need makshava, but you don't need hechsher because it's over the time to makamura. Here's where Tosfos takes out chelev, and indeed we don't have it, but you have it in a kvar. So exactly what is the case that Rabbi Yochanan is talking about over here? I mean, either, in fact, it doesn't require Machshava according to anybody, or it requires Machshava according to everybody. So I don't understand. Amar Reb Zira Bar Chanina, what did you think the case was when we said the bird falls into a vat of wine? Why did you think we needed to have a case like that? For fun? It's a special case. Leolam bekrach. It is talking about in a krach, where normally, in a chinami, you would not need to have machshava. But gito ma'asato. The fact that it fell into wine already makes it a double problem. It's been lying there. It looks bedraggled and straggled and dead. Who's going to buy it? So over there, you need machshava. It makes even a dead bird in a krach the equivalent of a dead bird in a kvar. And that's what we're talking about over here. So that it requires machshava. We were talking about if it fell into wine, even though when you're in a krach, the chiddush over here is that it's like a kvar. That was the case that we were talking about. Now, what was the meaning of the discussion between Reb Yochanan and Ben Nuri and everybody else? Om Reb Yochanan, he said, I don't understand why you need a makshava to make it tameh tumas eichen. Remember, the whole issue over here is only legabe tumas eichen. Legabe tumas kamura, whatever. If you eat it, then you're eating it. Says Reb Yochanan, it's a kalpachomer. If when you eat it, you're going to become tameh. The Tumah Chamura, even if you didn't know that this was a dead chicken, you thought it was a shechted chicken, and you eat it. Then you find out that actually this chicken came from the next door Safeway, and the hechsher was not quite a good hechsher. And about this happened to people in the restaurant in Cleveland. They found out the kosher restaurant was serving Safeway chickens when they ran out of the kosher chicken. Shem Yirat. Safeway is the equivalent of the South African, and what do they call those stops in the road when you're...
Just on groceries.
Come on, what's the stops where they have all those kosher foods and things? The car stops. I forgot.
Driving.
No. They're all over. Wow. Slipped my mind. So anyway... So Tainas with Yochanan and Ben Nuri, if it's going to be Matami to Mechamura without a Machshava, it's a kosher anyway. It shouldn't be Matami to Mechala, Shlova Machshava. Seems ridiculous. How can be more Machmir on Tumas Eichlein? Then you're going to be on Tumas Aveilus. Amrulo. So the answer of Yochanan, this vague thing, Mamata with Tumas Chamura, she came Eina Yoredes Lekach. Doesn't get into that. What does that mean? My Eina Yoredes Lekach. What did you mean to say? Amar Rava, they were telling him about the Sofer Kamer. Lo im Amrit Betuma Chamura, Shekein Eina Osaka Yotseva. In other words, once you have Tuma Chamura, So now it's going to be metame an Adam. That Adam can't be metame an Adam just because he swallowed a Nivlas oath, can he? He's only a Rishon Atumah. And a Rishon Atumah cannot be metame an Adam. So therefore, it's never going to be able to get into being metame a person. But an Eichlin, which is tame, would be metame another Eichlin. Eichlin to be metame Eichlin, mit Rabban. Therefore, tomar betumah kama, shosaka yotzeba. I mean, tumah kala, that's going to continue being metame, maybe it requires machshava, they said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zuri. Omar le'Abayis, Abayis, I understand. That's a pretty stupid thing to say to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zuri. Then he would turn around and he'd say, that's even a better kavachomer. So koshikenu, if tumah chamura, which doesn't have this chumra, that it could make an Adam tame enough to be metame another Adam. Nonetheless, it still doesn't require a machshava. So it's kal in this piece. So to kala, which is so chamur, that it actually is metame other Oakland, the chamira, dosik yotziba. So for sure, in addition to metame shaloba machshava. Understand, how does this answer Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? On the contrary, it seems to give Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri chizuk that if tuma kamura doesn't require machshava, so tuma kala for sure shouldn't be, require machshava. El over of changes, I'll tell you what it means. Lo imamre tuma kamura. Tuma kamura is different because tuma kamura does not require hechsher. In other words, you don't have to have the oath tohar being wet before you eat it. Correct? No heksher is necessary. Doesn't have to touch anything else, no water, no sherets. You eat it, tame, boom. And it's metame, therefore, since the requirements for its tumor are less stringent, so it's also, it doesn't require machshava. Mashenkin tumakala never becomes, it's yoredes lekach. Tumakala gets into the whole sugya of requiring heksher. So if it requires hapsher, it also requires makshava. So it was the three things are interrelated. The same way that something would require hapsher mind, or hapsher sheretz, it also requires the first stage, which is makshava. You can't bring a raya for something that doesn't require hapsher sheretz, hapsher mind. You say, see, it doesn't require makshava. Of course it doesn't require makshava. That's because it never gets into that issue. That's not any oredes lekach. It doesn't get into pre-tumah requirement. Either it's tumah or it's not tumah. There's no intermediate steps. So how are you going to bring a raya from tumah chamura to tumah kala? I think maybe we should turn this off. The heat's putting everybody to bed here. Such an exciting sugya. You think people are learning something strange or weird or something. What's going on? Seriously, turn it off. Just because you never get into eating nivah saif tahar. You have so much faith in the hechsher here. Tomar b'tum'ah kalash etzricha hechsher. Wait a minute. Now you're really driving me crazy. Tumah kala requires hechsher. I mean, yeah, it requires hechsher. If it's a turnip, it requires hechsher. But we're talking about a nivlas oath. I thought that was one of the things we just said. That it doesn't require hechsher. But non, the Yud Gimel Dvarim Nemru, the Nivlas Ov Tahor, Tzricha Machshava, Ve'ena Metam El Rebeis Abliya, Ve'ena Tzricha Hechsher. What are you telling me he needs hechsher for? You're making me a mishuga over here. No. No. I like it. So for the Tamei Tumah Chamura. But we're talking about over here Nivlas Ov Tahor to see whether it's going to be Tamei Tumas Eichlin. That's the case. So because it's so full of time in Tumas Hamura, it Bedavka does not require Hechshers. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is saying a very reasonable thing. He's saying, look, man, if it even for Tumas Hamura, it doesn't require Machshava. So Koshkin for Tumas Kala doesn't require Machshava. And what are you going to answer me? What do you mean? But for Tumas Kala, it needs Hechsher. No, sir. It doesn't need Hechsher. It says Mefeirush in the Mishnah. That since it's so for the time of Tumah Chamura, it doesn't need action. So how would they answer that to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? says the Gemara, well, maybe it's true it doesn't need hechsher to touch a sheretz because it's so for the tamei tuma chamura. But it needs hechsher to touch water, doesn't it? Now, this is not true. This is not true. If anything, it's the other way around. And this is the mocker of the difference between our sugya and the sugya and chulin. Okay? But here the Gemara is assuming that when you say the Yud Gimel Dvarim Shenemru B'Nivlas Ayiftar, that Eina Tzricha Hechsher, the Hava meaning here is Eina Tzricha Hechsher means, since it has Tuma in itself, it doesn't require to touch something else that's Tame. But certainly in order to be a foodstuff, it needs to be wet, like any other foodstuff, otherwise it's not a foodstuff.
Wet?
Touching water or something.
Well, he's all wet all the time.
Oh, this is wet.
Right? He even says hydro on it. I'm sure you're right.
It's dry.
He also, you obviously has little wings up there, so he's a nivlas. I don't know if he's a nivlas or iftar. I assume he's an iftar.
So now you understand shot.
No, I hold it back.
If a dry dead chicken touches a dry loaf of bread,
according to this, if a dry dead chicken touches a loaf, when you say dry,
never
wet dead chicken. I mean, it's not important that it be wet now, but a chicken that had never come in contact with one of the mice.
Touches a dry bagel.
Right.
It wouldn't become
right. Even though, because, in other words, we're looking at the logic. So for the time of Tuma Chamura means it has Tuma inside of itself that hasn't yet come out because it's not in the base of Leah. But at least that Kaya HaTuma is innate in the actual substance of the bird. So why would it need to touch a sheretz? It's a little ridiculous that it should have to go touch a sheretz to become tummy to Messiah when it itself is an avela. But that's not going to change the requirement for being called an Eichel. And to be called an Eichel, it needed to be at one point in contact with mine, or one of the Shiva Mashal, right? Mm-hmm. That's the Gemara's happening. So Taina is the Gemara. Therefore, this would be a good answer to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Because I would tell Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, look, what do you bring me a riot from the Tuma Chamura? The Tuma Chamura doesn't get into any pre-Tuma requirements. But Tuma Kala, that it should have a din of Eichlin, still needs to be wet. So if it needs to be wet, who's to say that it doesn't need Machshava in order to make it an Eichlin? If it's something that people don't normally eat, so it's not going to be an Eichlin. It's not going to be a circular Tami Tuma Chamura. It's not going to change that. So it says the Gemara, let's see this inside. He did after sheretz, oh boy, maybe it doesn't require after sheretz, meaning to touch a sheretz, but certainly after mayim, boy, it's still going to need to touch water, won't it? So the Gemara, no, it certainly will not. Because, you're not looking over here in Svara, you're looking over here to Pusik. Mayish, not after sheretz, oh boy. Why indeed do you agree that it doesn't require after sheretz? Kedatani devei Rabbi Yishmael. It's the way Tonin Rabbi Yishmael learns it from the Pasuk. But if that's true, Hekshamayim Nami Loti Boy. It also doesn't require Hekshamayim as clear from the same Tonin Rabbi Yishmael. The Tonin Rabbi Yishmael, it says in the Torah, Al Kol Zera Zerua Ashi Zora, that water that falls on any seed that shall be planted. What's the comparison now to seeds, Dafkin? Tell me, Mazraim Shein Sofan Tami Tuma Chamur Tzrichim Hechsher, and that's talking about Asher Yipo Mayim. I mean, it's talking about Hechsher Mayim. That's what it's talking about. So it says, just like seeds are things that, by definition, could never contain within them Tuma Chamura. There's no case where a seed is going to be Matame on its own Tuma Chamura. That's what requires Hechsher. Referring to what Hechsher? Hechsher Mayim. As opposed to Nivlas Oftar Shesofel Tami Tuma Chamura She'ein Tzorech Hechsher. Meaning what? Meaning She'ein Tzorech Hechsher Mayim. So now, is it still true that we can turn around to Rabbi Yochanan and say, Eni Aretz V'Kach? It's Eina Yoredes L'Kar. We don't get into this issue at all. What do you mean? Tomar, to Makala, to Yoredes L'Kar. Well, how is it Yoredes L'Kar? The case over here is a case of Nivlas of Tar. It's not Yoredes L'Kar. It does not require Hashemayim. No, no, no! So what are you bringing me a raya? Therefore, you're telling me my logic doesn't make sense. Because, after all, if it requires Hesher, maybe it requires Makshava. It doesn't require Hesher. The Ferish Mishnah. And don't try to drain me a cup that it requires Hesher Mayim. I just proved to you it doesn't require Hesher Mayim. That's the drush and the pussy. So how are you giving me a good explanation? What is the answer to Rabbi Yochanan ben Muri's Kalbachim? Answers the Gemara, Elamah Rav, the Tamer of Papa. The answer is, my friends, blowing in the wind. Because we do not refer to this particular case. We refer to the idea. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is claiming that something that is going to be able to be Matamim to Mechamura without Makshava, Kol Shekein to Mekala, shouldn't require Makshava. Tainas. Now, the Rabbanan back to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Excuse me? Generally speaking, does Tuma Chamura require Makshava? No. Nevelah's Matame. Period. Somebody comes across a Nevelah and touches a Nevelah, it's Matame. I understand what about Makshava. But a Tuma Kala, by definition, not, maybe not in a rare case of a Nivlas Oftar. I'm saying in general. Does Tuma Kala require Heksher? Yes. So what do you bring me a raya from a type of tumah that requires hechsher, generally speaking, requires hechsher? So maybe it requires makshava. So you're going to bring me a raya from tumah kamura, which in the general sense does not require any type of hechsher. So it doesn't require makshava. There's no connection between it. Don't you bring me a backwards kal v'chomer with a requirement that doesn't exist by tumah kamura and does exist by tumah kala? That's all that they were answering of Yochanan ben Nuri. And that makes perfectly good sense. Now you'll notice, and this is the way that the Reb Tiberger gets out of needing to accept that the Sugya and Nida argues on the Sugya and Chulin. Because he tainas these words about maybe it doesn't require Heksher Mayim, maybe it requires Heksher Mayim even though it doesn't require Heksher Sheretz, that was only an Avamina. We don't see that the Gemara in Nida over here remains with that. That was a misunderstanding. We were approaching the whole thing logically. So we said, logically, it makes sense that something that has Tumah within it is going to be able to express that Tumah at least within its own innate self and doesn't require touching a Sheretz. But once the Gemara is doicha that and shows that the whole mocker of Sefer L'Taimi Tumah Chamura is in terms of the Din of Heksher Mayim, from our call ki yipo mayim al zera, so maybe we have karata from the whole thing, and therefore Rashi is absolutely correct in explaining back in Chulin that the din of sofa the tami tumah chamura ain't a tricha heksher. Only means it doesn't require heksher mayim, but it does mean it requires heksher sheretz. So you don't even have to say that the sugyas are mechulakas because that was only the havamin of the sugya throughout. Therefore, Rashi consistently, except here in Nida, always says the meaning of Nivla Soif in a Tzricha Hekshe, or Kosh Tzof for the Tamei Tumah Chamura in a Tzricha Hekshe, is only it doesn't need to get water. That's all.
So then how does the touching take place?
It still requires to touch something Tamei, to become Tamei, like anything else.
And when it goes in the base of Leo?
No. That's the Tumah Chamura. Okay. We're talking about the Din of Revius. Of kibetz to be matamei tumas eichlin, right? In other words, let's say I have a half a beitza of a piece of bread, and I add to it another half a beitza of Safeway chicken.
Okay.
Is this mekabel tumas eichlin? I now have a kibetz. Is mekabel tumas eichlin?
They're touching each other.
Yeah, it's a sandwich. So if you hold that the Nivlas of Tamei is a foodstuff, then it's Mekabel Tumah as a foodstuff, even though there's not enough here to be Matamik Tumah Chamurgis, it's Pachos Mikazayas. So in any case, we have Pachos Mikazayas. It's Mashlim the Kibetz, right?
Okay.
So that doesn't make an afkamina whether it's a foodstuff. Absolutely. If it's not a foodstuff, the fact that it's in the veil is not going to affect anything. It's not a kezias here. Okay, so we need to define whether it has a din of a foodstuff. It's a completely different issue. Don't confuse the tumas nevelas element of it with the tumas echmed element of it. Two completely different things. This would be true of any nevela, correct? If it's a foodstuff, that's why we talk about what the din is the gabi nevelas fame as well.
If the poker was a bagel, and it wouldn't
matame
the bagel.
It's kosher style. Yeah. All right, he's eating it with bagels.
Unless this poker touches a dead cow, then it will become a...
No. That's not, I'm not even talking about that case. I'm saying in general, the question is it called a foodstuff? That's all. Yeah, you're 100% right. Even if it's called a foodstuff, it's not going to be tummy unless it touches something. That's how Rashi understands this. Okay?
But it doesn't require my...
But mayim, it doesn't require. Remember, mayim is not just mayim. It has to be mayim that came with somebody's das. It's the fact that it's out in the rain, if nobody put it out in the rain, it's not going to give it a din of action. It's kiyutan dunya lekiyitain. Remember, the Torah leaves out the vav. So we learn that kiyitain mayim alzera, even though it's read as kiyutan mayim alzera.
Even though.
There we learn that you need to have an intent to make it wet. I'm just reviewing the halachas with you, I mean, but this is clear now what we're talking about.
The intent can also be on rain. You can intend it.
That's right, you can put it out in the rain so that it will rain on it.
So you need two machshava, is that right? The machshava.
It's two completely separate issues. A machshava to make it edible. There's a machshava that it should get wet.
You need both of them.
That's part of hechsher. One is called machshava, one is called the hechsher.
Do you need both of them for this dead bird in order to be...
Nope. The dead bird doesn't need to be machshava to get wet.
You only need machshava.
Right. Because it's all for the tummy to makabur. Okay. Hopefully we got over that.